So first of all, what is your role with Cold Response?
Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, I'm the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Brigade Operations Officer.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm basically the Senior Marine Officer in charge. And then once we transition to a combined joint task force, which I'll explain here in a minute, I will become the deputy, really, coalition joint operations officer, so the CJ3 deputy, to Colonel Gerhard Larson, who will serve as the CJ3 for the CJTF.
Okay. All right, excellent. And so you're in Norway right now, correct?
I am in Norway, yes.
Okay, awesome. So and are you're involved with pre-positioning?
So we've had folks here for about 3 weeks who have been doing the coordination with the Marine Corps Pre-Positioning Program Norway to pull out over 6,000 end items from the caves up here. And then we are transporting the gear that shoots. We'll go down to a live fire range. We're op checking the gear. We actually put 12 AAVs in the water yesterday here in the town of Stjørdal. And then today put 4 in the water again with the mayor of Stjørdal and simulated an amphibious landing back into the beach with probably about 300 folks sitting on the beach. And then 2 F-16s flew over from the Norwegian Air Force. So a little bit of coordinated efforts already going on.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of the next 2 weeks, we'll finish out all the preparation that goes into that. So we've built a series of tent camps. We're outfitting buildings we've been given by Home Guard 12 on Varnes. We'll set up operation centers, all the coordination elements that need to go in, and then we will, on the 22nd, transition into a combined joint task force where the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Brigade commanding general, Brigadier General Castelvi, will become the CJTF commander. He'll have 5 Norwegian One Stars working for him, as well as 3 subordinate Marine commanders. And then we will actually fall up under the Norwegian Joint Headquarters for the field training exercise portion.
Okay. All right. So what is, just as kind of like the bottom line up front, what is the Marine Corps' role in Cold Response?
So we're providing a portion of both the mechanized, the maneuver, infantry, support, artillery, communications. We have Air Naval Gunfire Liaison Company, Marine Air Control Group, heavy lift, attack, coordination with the host nation support battalion. But the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Brigade's primary role is both the reception, staging, onward movement, integration of all the gear that we're bringing in from both stateside, U.S. European Command forces, and the Marine Corps pre-positioning program. And then we will conduct the live maneuver force-on-force exercise in Norway.
Okay. Excellent.
Sorry, I forgot one. We also have, on the naval side, we have the Fort McHenry is sailing over. So we have Marines from the 2nd Amphibian Assault Battalion are on the ship right now and will link up with their additional company that's already here. And then we will conduct a coordinated amphibious assault with the Dutch, the Norwegians, and a number of the other coalition partners off the shore, utilizing the Fort Mac as the afloat staging base.
Okay. You had mentioned that you'd explain the combined joint task force a bit more for me. Can you do that?
Sure. So when a Marine unit normally goes out, we have, as you know, a traditional Marine Air Ground Task Force. So a command element, an aviation combat element, a ground combat element, logistics combat element, and then a number of enablers that come out of our 2nd Marine Headquarters group stationed all back at Camp Lejeune. And that really starts down at the – you can go to the Special Purpose Marine Air Ground Task Force, to the Marine Expeditionary Unit, and in this case up to the Marine Expeditionary Brigade. Although we're only bringing approximately 2,000 Marines from stateside, we've got another 1,000 over here that have fallen in from Marine Forces Europe and Africa that will become part of the MAGTAF. And then as we transition into the field training exercise, the Med Corps headquarters will bring in approximately 50 coalition officers and integrate additional Army, Navy, Air Force folks into the Coalition Joint Task Force headquarters. So the deputy of the Joint Task Force headquarters will be a Norwegian one-star. The J3 or CJ3 will be Colonel Larson, who is out of the Norwegian Joint Headquarters, and I will transition into being his deputy and then spread across what you normally think of as a staff or the section will be a variety of those joint and coalition members spread throughout so we can do the respective coordination for the 5 Norwegian subordinates and then the 3 Marine subordinates.
Okay. Have you participated in cold response before?
Sorry, and again, also coordination that will fall to Fort Mac is part of all of that, and all of that is headed up by Brigadier General Castelvi as the CJTF commander.
All right. Thank you. Have you participated in cold response before?
No. So back in 1995, we had what we called Exercise Strong Resolve. So the USS Wasp came over with the same squadron that's participating now, HMH 464. I just happened to be a lieutenant back then. We came over on USS Wasp and participated in a very similar exercise, although I'd say a little more amphibious-focused, but we had a large footprint of Marines ashore, very similar in terms of Norwegian, NATO, and coalition partners operating, and we did that for a better part of 3 weeks here. So this is my first cold response, but not the first time I've operated in Norway.
Okay, excellent. And this is the 10th anniversary of cold response, correct?
That's a great question. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
We've been doing things with Norway, you know, a better part of, I think the pre-positioning piece kicked off. The agreement started in the late 70s. The caves were open in the 80s, and I was here in the early 90s. So I know we've been doing things for a long time.
Yeah. So how will this year's cold response differ from previous exercises?
So from what I understand, the Marine Corps participation was basically at the battalion and below down to the company level. So I think there was a lot of unit training going on, but I don't think we've had this scale in Norway for, I don't know if it goes all the way back to Strong Resolve, but I know it's been a long time. And then the integration of a coalition joint task force headquarters to this scope and scale has not been done to my knowledge, and certainly not in the past 2.5 years since I've been part of Second Marine Expeditionary Brigade.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed also the Black Sea Rotational Forces up there for doing some training. Are they directly involved with this too?
Yeah, absolutely. So Task Force 1-8, the Black Sea Rotational Force, those are the folks up in Parsamount all the way up to the north that are training with 3 Commando Royal Marines doing their cold weather training. We folded in the Combined Arms Company. We've got artillery from Charlie 110. We've got the 2nd Amphibian Assault Battalion in different places as parting playing, and then we have the 2nd LAV, 2nd Tanks is also playing. So that's why I say we've got forces from Marine Forces Europe and Africa, and then we've got components from U.S. European Command, as well as then stateside forces all coming together, active and reserve, under one headquarters.
Okay. Yeah, it strikes me as a logistical nightmare, though.
Say nightmare, I say challenge.
Awesome.
The big piece of this, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, I don't know what your background is, but I think sometimes we need to get out of our own backyard, our own home plate, to operate under a different set of rules so that we don't fall in love with one particular way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
In particular with the Marine Corps, you know, we are used to operating as a Marine Air Ground Task Force. Now we're taking a one-star headquarters and transitioning into a combined joint task force. And although when you look at the organizational chart, it is absolutely hideous, mm-hmm. when the commanders decide to make it all work, and I'm sure from what I've seen across the board, the coordination has been outstanding. Everybody mm-hmm. recognizes there are a lot of extremely hard things we've done. Some of the lessons we've learned already, maybe we're already relearning. It's an outstanding opportunity to bring this together. And again, this is not summer weather. I guess it's Norwegian summer weather. But right. for us, zero and below, for most of us, is extreme temperature. And being able to put all this together and operate over what is the better part of 60 days in terms of start to finish is just an outstanding opportunity for both coalition and NATO interoperability.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, getting outside your backyard. I mean, I think, like, thematically, this is a very, it's a very far cry from Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, looking at the coin fight over the last 14 years, this, I mean, just from what I understand, it sounds much more like Cold War, you know, especially looking at Russia.
Yeah, I don't know that I would make that analogy. I would say getting back to, I've already invoked every clime in place. And if you utilize the Marines' hymn, "Our Flags Unfurled," that's the way I look at it. We say that we can operate in any climb in place. And so we've been doing a lot of, as you've mentioned, Iraq and Afghanistan, turnover to a fairly steady state. You go to the same bases if you return. This is about being expeditionary, getting out of town, falling in on pre-positioned gear, and operating in a really hostile cold weather environment. So I wouldn't apply it to anything in particular other than showing the Marine Corps' ability to operate anywhere we need to.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And looking at some of the participating nations, I mean, you've got Sweden, Germany, Netherlands, and obviously the Norwegians too. If one of the points of this is joint interoperability, like, how do you cross the linguistic barriers? How do you do that at a practical level?
So it's a little entertaining, I will tell you, but if you take off the country patch from your Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you'd be surprised. Even Special Operations Forces, especially when you put folks out in the cold, people are very willing to work together. And language can certainly be a barrier, but really only if you allow it to. For us in particular, you know, we expect everybody to speak English.
Okay.
I would say the majority of European countries do speak English, but
right. It
is up to us to figure out a way to help get across that language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from everyone working, it has been outstanding in terms of interoperability. I think the Norwegians are entertained by how we treat the cold or how we view the cold, because to them, this is fairly normal. But for most of us coming out of North Carolina, that this was extreme temperature as soon as you stepped off the plane.
Yeah. And I grew up in Chicago, but it's what you're describing sounds extreme to me, too.
Well, and you know this. It's one thing to get out of a car and walk into a building and vice versa. It's another thing to be out. So I was standing out on the beach for almost 3 hours today. I had a warming layer. I had my Gore-Tex. I had gloves. I had a cap on. And by the end of it, I was definitely feeling it. And watching the Marines operate, you know, they're excited to be out there, but you're seeing a lot of movement. You're seeing folks make sure they pay attention to what's going on. And if you take a glove off, it's not off very long before you put them back on. So, you know, bare skin against 0 degrees with a 10-knot wind, you don't do too well for very long.
No. It hurts. So, obviously, there's, you know, the cold to mitigate, as you say. There's linguistics. There's, you know, the challenge of getting all these pieces together. What other challenges are involved with this exercise?
Primarily, it's, you know, there's a great amount of gear and support equipment. The Norwegians have a way of doing business. We have a way of doing business. I would say when we're back at home plate, we know who to call. We know what the rules and regulations are. You go to a host nation country, especially in a training environment, although we do view this as a mission rehearsal to be ready when the nation calls, you are adhering to the national laws and regulations. So there are certain things we may not be able to do. There are certain regulations we would have to adhere to that back in the United States, especially on a U.S. base, are just going to be different. And we are working through those. And honestly, we have had no issues where it has gotten overly contentious. I was on the VTC with the Norwegian Joint Headquarters J3 earlier. That's why I'm actually late for this. For about a half an hour, we have a VTC every day, and he wants to know if there are issues that he needs to weigh in on. And right now, I can tell you across the board, from the town to the base to the Home Guard 12, folks want to find a way to make this work. And so we work through those challenges and we work through the language barriers.
Okay. So what does the Marine Corps hope to get out of this exercise?
Biggest piece for us, I think I've already touched on, you get out of your comfort zone, you work within a coalition, in particular NATO, and you work in extreme austere conditions in the extreme cold. So I know for me, back in 95, I executed Strong Resolve, and 6 months later, I was doing operations in Albania. So it just showcases our ability to continue to train in every climb and place, and then be able to execute when the nation calls.
Okay. So those are all really the questions I had. Is there anything else I'm missing that you want to add?
No, I think we've hit it. The big piece I'd like to highlight is that although the exercise itself is only 10 days, this stretches out over 75 days from the time we brought people in to start drawing gear, to execute, to put it all back, and the planning evolution has been well over 18 months. In fact, we're already starting to talk about the exercise 2 years from now and all the coordination that occurs. So it's certainly not show up for 10 days. And again, I just can't say enough about the local community and the Norwegians in terms of looking to find a way to make things go and to operate with us has been absolutely outstanding.
Wonderful. All right, sir, that's all I've got. You have any questions for me?
I don't.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck with everything. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
All right, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Okay.